Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To let go of bitterness means forgiving those who have wronged you. This is a bitter pill for many who hold on to their anger until their knuckles turn white. Today, the practical side of forgiving people when in our own hearts, we just can't do it. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the power of a clear conscience. We're in our eighth message, where we're finding that the way to be rid of bitterness is to just lay it down.
Now, there are some counselors, and I've heard them say, well, you don't have to forgive until you feel like it. Well, to quote the words that is not very theological, good luck, good luck. You're never going to feel like it. Now, we're going to give you some specific instruction. And this is a message, you know, that you need to take home. One of the disappointments for those of us who preach is the realization that there are many people who listen who say, well, wasn't that interesting? And they may leave and they may think about it again during the week, maybe once, twice. It may come back to them. But basically, the message is left at church. This is not a message that you can leave here at the church and profit from it. This is the kind of message where when you go home, you find a quiet place, and if you say there is no such thing where I go, then pray that God will give you one. And where you are at least an hour or two with God, and you say, this is our time together, O God. And what we're going to do is to deal with the root issues and pluck up from the roots, with God's help, the root of bitterness which springs up, and thereby many people are defiled. Are you ready? So this is a message you do at home. You listen now, and then you take it home, and you deal with it there. Can't deal with it quickly. Now, let me begin by emphasizing again, the Bible says, do not grieve the blessed Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer, you don't want to do that. But some of us do grieve the Spirit by sin that has not been confessed, by bitterness that we will not acknowledge, and we will not deal with it. So let's begin. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul says, be kind one to another, verse 32, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You notice that there's reciprocity. Boy, I haven't used that word in years. I'm glad it came out correctly. Wasn't planning to use it. But you notice that forgiving one another. And we're going to talk about this next week when we speak about reconciling broken relationships. Forgiving one another. But here's what I would like to give you as steps to follow to get at the root of bitterness, which may be legitimate in a human sense, because you've been sinned against. And by the way, some of you are listening, and you're the ones who have done the sinning against. We'll deal with you next week. See if you can survive that long. Number one, be honest. Be honest. Admit the truth. Don't lie. You see, what happens is we justify our feelings for so long that we even forget the fact that we have the feelings. Or, oh, yes, yes, I've forgiven. You know, we buried the hatchet, yeah. But the trail to the hatchet is very, very well traveled, and the hatchet is very shallow. And so what we do is we tell ourselves, yeah, I have forgiven, but what we do sometimes is we shut down emotionally. And as a result of that shutdown, we are really not honest with ourselves, especially those of you who are dealing not so much with a pit bull anger, where there is this expression of anger, but rather the cobra type, where it's deep and it's down and it's slow, but it's there and it leaks out. ask God to show you the deep root of the anger. And be honest. Remember, others may see what you don't see. Our ability to see ourselves the way others see us is a divine gift, but especially the way God sees us and the issues we need to deal with deep in the soul. You know, skunks, just to choose an animal that might bring many memories to your own heart as it does to me, a farm boy. So far as we know, and I don't know the research on this, a skunk's odor may smell very, very good to him. It probably smells something like, well, there used to be, I don't know if it's still in existence, but Chanel number 5 or something like that. He doesn't notice it. What kind of odor do you and I sometimes give off that we do not notice, but those around us do? And it may be for many different reasons. One reason is smoldering resentment. Be honest. Admit it. Second, grieve the loss. Grieve the loss. My, some of you have lost your childhood because of the way in which you were treated as a child. Some of you have had a destroyed marriage because of the unfaithfulness of a spouse. Why wouldn't you grieve the loss? You are grieving what could have been. Wasn't it Greenleaf Whittier who said that the saddest words in tongue and pen is simply this: it might have been. Could have been different. God has given you some kind of a limitation, some kind of a trial, and it destroys your career and all, and you wanted to do this thing, and some physical infirmity came in between you and your dream. Weep. Why not? If you lost an arm, you'd cry. So what we need to do is to become very, very honest as we think about the regrets of yesterday and the worries sometimes about tomorrow. Could we, in moments of silence before God, and by the way, I read that the best cure for loneliness is silence before God. And then, number 3, we have to remember why Jesus was abused. I'm in the text now. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now think for a moment about Jesus, who's really the pivotal of the whole thing and the one whom we worship and the one who we love, who is our Savior. What did Jesus endure? Well, he was betrayed by a friend. He was deserted by his followers. Suffered for what he didn't do because our sin was laid upon him and he bore our iniquity. And catch this, he even suffered under the hands of God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now follow carefully. You and I oftentimes have been the victim of injustice. We've been the victim of those who have tried to destroy us. We've all been there in one way or another. But that was not our choice. We just happened to be where we happened to be, and people just did what they did. But Jesus would not have had to be there. This was his voluntary choice. Because he said, I so love the people whom God wants to redeem that I will die in their behalf. I will give my life. I will make the ultimate sacrifice for them. Why? So that you, O Father, can set them free. Because I want them to be free from their sin and from the natural consequences that we might expect, and I want to redeem them. Now, think of that. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the standard. Do you know that if you can't forgive, if you absolutely say, I can't forgive, I have to question whether or not you have been redeemed, because the sin that you and I have done against Christ is much greater, almost certainly, than sins that have been done against us. The key to forgiveness is to understand the wonder of God's forgiveness. And then what we do is we simply say, I'm going to lay it down. Lay it down. In fact, that is very important. The first step to forgiveness is to be forgiven and to realize the importance of Jesus Christ's mercy toward us, and we forgive accordingly. Does Jesus forgive you more than once? Well, aren't you glad the answer is yes. In Christ, we forgive others. Now, reconciliation is a separate issue that we'll deal with next week. But forgiveness, the laying down of bitterness, may God grant us the ability to do it. You know, I'm told that rattlesnakes, and I looked this up on the web, and if it's on the web, it must be true. Yeah, I'm sure it's true. Not everything on the web is true. I hope you realize that. But rattlesnakes sometimes bite themselves. Nobody knows, is it because of anger, is it because of fear, but a rattlesnake bites itself. My friend today, if you harbor bitterness, you are biting yourself. You're not changing your enemy, you're not changing the situation. All that you're doing is you are perpetuating the venom. And the Bible says, by that many are defiled. And I'm saying, stop it. Lay it down. Lay it down. You know, there is a story, I may have told you the story years ago, about a professor whom we shall call Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was known in his classroom for having object lessons for helping the people learn in creative ways. So one day he put a target on the wall and said, now what I want you to do, everybody gets a sheet of paper. And what I want you to do is to make a picture, draw a picture of the person you dislike the most, the person that you hate. I mean, let's just use the word hate. The person that you hate, draw a picture. Well, all the students, they just thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, some of them said, give me more than one piece of paper because I don't know who to choose. Plenty of people that we hate. Because he said, afterwards, we're going to put these people on this target that I've put on the wall, and then I've got all of these arrows. And what you can do is to take those arrows and throw them as hard as you want at the person that you hate. Oh, what an exciting assignment. Plenty of opportunity for this. So the kids go through it, and one by one, these pictures are put over the target, and the kids are there. They are just really enjoying it, throwing these darts, these spears, these little spears, as hard as they possibly can, these arrows. And then when everybody was over and everybody was having a great time and everybody enjoying it, he went over and he pulled the target off the wall, and behind it was a picture of Jesus. And the kids were stunned. Every eye gouged out, both eyes gouged out. His cheeks, his chin, his neck, all gouged. I mean, the best way to describe it is the face of Jesus was mangled. And then he said to them, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, Jesus is saying, you've done it unto me. Angry parent, you may be angry with the father of your child. You may be angry with the person who robbed you of your virginity. You may be angry for all kinds of different reasons, just as these students were. But every time you throw one of those arrows and you shout in anger, you're not only doing it to your child, you're doing it to Jesus. Therefore, the scripture says, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Jesus shed his blood. His body was nailed to the cross, all voluntary on his part. so that you and I could be redeemed. We could experience forgiveness, and then he gives us plenty of opportunities to forgive in return. Blessed are you who go to the root of your bitterness. Forgiveness is both an act and a process. That's why I say in the notes, lay it down, and then if it comes back, lay it down again. But each time, it has less power. Lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Be free in Jesus who redeemed you. And now, let us pray. Father, I'm thinking of people who have lived with bitterness and anger for years. The roots go down very, very deep. Would you help them, Father, to lay it down? I'm thinking of betrayal. I'm thinking of situations of promise that were broken and people who were misused and thrown away like the peelings of an orange. And today, that's the way they feel. I pray that in your presence, they might receive and rejoice in the greatness of your forgiveness and your love for them. And then in turn, grant others the same grace that you gave them. And for those who are listening who've never trusted Christ as Savior, this seems to be all very foreign to them. Help them to know that Jesus died for sinners so that we could indeed be forgiven as we receive forgiveness from his hand. And help us now as a church, as we remember his death, to be deeply grateful that he died for us and says, go free. Whatever God has talked to you about, would you take this sermon home with you? And you respond. In Jesus' name we thank you. Help our people and help all of us. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can hardly think of any topic that is more important in your life and mine than how to deal with bitterness and anger. That's why I preach this message entitled Lay It Down, and as you may know, it is part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. In my ministry, I've come to the conclusion that the thing that Satan uses the most in the lives of believers is bitterness and anger and resentment because of what has happened to them, the injustices that they have suffered. And yet I want to remind you that God is there to help you lay it down, put it behind you. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and you're willing to wait for God to sort it all out, either in this life or in the life to come. Now, you know someone who needs the message that you have just heard. It may be you, but it may also be others. Be sure to put them in contact also with Running to Win, because we're here to help you along the journey of life.
Time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Today, a heartbreaking story from an anonymous couple who need serious help. My wife and I are desperately seeking advice. Our son married a woman who regrets that she did not marry another woman. She now wants to be in a same-sex relationship. They have 3 children. Our daughter-in-law claims to be a Christian and yet refuses to repent. She wants to leave the marriage to pursue what she thinks is a more fulfilling relationship. What do we do?
Well, my first inclination is to say that there isn't too much that you can do. But now that I've said that, let me back up and tell you what I think your response should be. I think what you should do is to take your daughter-in-law aside and help her to understand why the decision that she wants to make is a very bad idea. And it's a bad idea because it's a sinful idea. Help her to understand that the consequences are going to be far-reaching, that it's going to affect their family. It's going to affect the witness that she is trying to have to her children, hopefully a good witness that she wants to have, and that she cannot simply pursue her own desires as if to say those desires have to be elevated above all of the implications for her husband and children. It's a very, very difficult decision, fraught
with all kinds of dangers. So I think that needs to be said. The second thing that I think needs to be said is that you will continue to love her and continue to do all that you possibly can to help the children. Then beyond that, there isn't much that you can do, except, of course, to pray, to intercede. After all, she is an adult, and oftentimes adults say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, no matter how it's going to smash relationships, no matter what the consequences are. Like somebody says, I'll join hands with the devil and go across the bridge and then deal with the devil later. Tragic, but that's the way it often is in the lives of people determined to pursue their own way. The next thing is, if she follows through, it'll be your responsibility to help the children to process this. Through prayer, through supplication, through your own witness, through your own love, we pray that they will not be too badly damaged by the actions of her mother. And then to remind yourself that Jesus Christ came to this earth to repair the irreparable. He came to this earth to help people with their messes, with their brokenness, with their great need, to bind up the brokenhearted, yes, to forgive those who trespass, and to help us in our need. So I want to leave you here with hope. Hope that in the midst of all of this, God still is glorified by showing his grace in the midst of disobedience, in the midst of heartfelt pain. God will be with you. Keep believing, keep trusting, and you'll see God even here.
Some compassionate counsel from Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337.
The power of a clear conscience. We can think of a conscience as the window to the soul, and you and I know that when a window gets smudgy, light is hampered. And in the very same way, when there's smudge on our conscience, when we have a defiled conscience, the light does not get through very well.
Erwin Lutzer brings crucial teaching that cuts right to the heart.
When it comes to dealing with addictions, people don't need any more condemnation. They already feel it. What we need is grace. And at the end of this message, it is my intention to show you God's grace and to leave you there and me there where we all need to be.
And it's grace that helps us forgive.
Therefore, the scripture says, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
We must let go of bitterness at all costs.
Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could be redeemed. We could experience forgiveness, and then he gives us plenty of opportunities to forgive in return. That's why I say in the notes, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Be free in Jesus who redeemed you.
The power of a clear conscience. 10 life-changing messages on CD will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Once you've given up your bitterness, how do you repair broken relationships? Next time on Running to Win, the how-to of building bridges to make things right. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.